A blessed good morning to you in the wonderful name of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to stay tuned for the next 15 minutes to the Triumph of His Grace broadcast, sponsored by the Grace Bible Churches. We shall be giving you some more information about our churches towards the end of the program. However, we trust that our program will give you enlightenment concerning the truth of God's Word and encouragement to do His blessed will for your lives.
Greetings in the name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, to all of you, our listeners. We trust God's blessing on you, even as you listen to the broadcast today, that it would be of some source of spiritual help for you, to help you in this life and for eternity. We are in the book of James and in chapter 5, and the first six verses had some warnings to the riches, to those who are rich, and to those who covet after riches. On the other hand, from verses 7 to 8, it gives us some words of comfort and challenge to those who are being unfeared by those who are rich, to those who are the downtrodden, as it were. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now, in those days, the believers, the Christians, were unfeared by those who were in authority and by the rich. And the believers were looked down at as people who did not have any type of status in the country. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. They were going through a lot of difficulties at the hands of those who were rich and those in power. And they were wondering about the coming of the Lord. They wanted deliverance. They wanted to leave this world. And so James writes and tells them, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. There's some things that must happen, he tells them, before the Lord comes. And he uses the analogy of a farmer. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Here is this exhortation to be patient in view of their affliction. And he tells them of the goal of their patience unto the coming of the Lord. Notice that this suggests, when it says unto the coming of the Lord, a particular event at a particular time and for a particular reason. The particular event is the coming of the Lord. Also, this will be at a particular time. God has His time for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Just when He came the first time, it tells us, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. So one day, God in the fullness of time, the Lord Jesus Christ will come and will deliver us, those who wait for Him. We look forward, but He tells us to do so with patience. Oh, with the problems of this life, the difficulties that we face, the unfairness that we experience, we long for the coming of the Lord Jesus, because this is our answer. This is the solution to our problems, unto the coming of the Lord. Let us be patient, he tells us. Now, the coming of the Lord suggests, first of all, the manifestation of God's grace and judgment. And this will happen, yes, at a particular time. God says He will do that when He manifests Himself. But it also manifests that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will come with glory and judgment. Not just in glory, but He will come to judge. He gives us that hope that those who have unfeared us and those who have lived in wanton and pleasure and laughed and scorned at us, and we've tried to tell them to change like Noah did to those while he was building the ark, and he told them to change and to serve God. He was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible tells us, but they laughed at him, they scorned at him until the day that the rain came and God shut the ark. Dear friend, the time is coming when judgment will come, when Jesus will come from of the sky, and judgment will come upon those who have lived in pleasure, who have allowed their riches to be their gods. Dear friend, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and we see the unfairness that is in this world, the exhortation is, be therefore patient. And notice this, the example of patience. The husbandman waiteth. The husbandman is a farmer. He has to wait, or else he will reap nothing. And while he waits, he works. He does not just sit there, he puts seed in the ground and folds back his arm and wait for the fruit to come. No, he goes and he tends to that garden. He waters it. He puts fertilizer to it. And he works with it. He takes out the weeds and so on. And he waits for the fruit, but he works as he waits. And so the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to work, for the night is coming. He tells us to occupy till he comes. The word occupy there means literally to work. And so the husbandman waiteth and worketh for the harvest. It tells us there he waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Precious because it costs hard labor. When a person puts in hard work, that which he reaps becomes very precious to him. It's precious because of God's miraculous way of increase, that you would put one seed in the ground and that one seed is able to produce so much more than you put in the ground. It is precious, dear friend. And so he waits until that day. The writer exhorts those of us who are saved that we be like the farmer. Oh, we plant the seed. What is the seed? The seed is the word of God. And we wait for it to bring forth fruit, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yes, though our souls cry out for heaven, yet we should desire to see many more come into the kingdom of God. Just as deliverance is precious to you, so is the fruit to the farmer. But he waiteth, but he does not do so idly. So too must we wait patiently, for our deliverance is far more precious than his fruit. And let us work as we wait. Until he waits, until he received the early and the latter rain. The early rain came just before sowing time, and the latter rain came just before ripening time, so to give him much fruit. And so let us wait. Oh, dear friend, we have had the early rain already. We are waiting for the latter rain to come. It's ripening time. It's harvest time soon to come, dear friend. So therefore, be patient and run the race with patience, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Notice a few observations from these statements in relationship to our waiting. If the farmer, upon ordinary principles of reason, can wait for the harvest, shall we not wait patiently for the Lord instead of giving up and becoming slack? The corn is precious to him, so the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ should be precious to us. If he waits, the farmer waits and works so patiently for a little corn, should we not so wait and work more patiently for the kingdom of heaven? Oh, he is willing to wait, that is the farmer, and work till all things be accomplished and then reap. So we should be willing to wait and work till all the divine decrees be accomplished. Here is our sowing time. Heaven is our harvest time. Here we must labor. Over there is our rest. As the seed must be buried in the ground and must rot and die before it can spring forth and enjoy the sunlight and blossom forth and produce fruit, even so must we be killed all the day long and be accounted as sheep for the slaughter and be oppressed and afflicted for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ before we can spring forth into the everlasting joys of eternal sunlight and blossom forth into perfect children of God. Let us be patient, dear friend. In relationship to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do these words mean? The example can be taken to show that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the man of patience, as he sits at the right hand of the Father, waiting patiently for the precious fruit of the earth to be garnered. I think that he above all longeth for his own coming, as he watches the wickedness that fills the earth, as he sees the ungodliness and unrighteousness that prevails, as he sees the devil deceiving many of his saints, as he sees his saints and servants being oppressed and afflicted. I think he anxiously awaits the harvest time. But gracious Savior he is, for he suffers long and is patient, not only willing that we one day should come to be with him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, he wants to deliver us as much as we want to get to heaven, or maybe more than we want to get to heaven. What wonderful love this is. Oh, precious in His sight, the Bible tells us, is the death of His saints. Yes, He sits and intercedes for us and works for us as He waits for the time when the precious fruit shall be harvested. Yes, Lord, give us grace to watch and wait and work patiently as Thou waitest patiently till the precious fruit be ready. Help us, O Lord God, to be patient on Thee. O dear Christian friends, be patient and endure, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Look unto the example of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice the application to be patient also is, be patient also, refers to the patience of the farmer. Be like him. Go on sowing, go on pruning, go on working, go on watching and waiting, but be patient until that day. The manner in which we are to be patient, he tells us, establish your hearts. The word establish means there to set fast, fix firmly. A similar word is in use in Exodus chapter 17, verse 12, when Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses, and they firmly held his hand high in the air. So too, as we wait upon the coming of the Lord, under the pressures of this life, under the difficulties, under the unfairness, under what people that in power do, people who are rich, how they're unfair us. Listen, dear friend, it tells us, establish your hearts in the faith. Establishing your heart, dear friend, means a firmness of faith. That is, be strong in your belief, strong in your trust in the Lord, and trust in Him with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Oh, a firmness of faith, but it also means a steadfastness in service. When blessings are seen and when troubles are experienced, keep on being steadfast in serving the Lord. Keep on, as the Bible tells us, brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for knowing that your labor shall not be in vain in the Lord. Yes, establish your heart means not only a firmness of faith and a steadfastness in service, but a growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when sorrows come, dear friend, you keep on trusting. Be patient unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day He will come, but let us work and wait until He comes. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your wonderful grace towards us all and the promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Help us to be patient until that day and so work until that day for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Dear listeners, if you're going through difficult times and you're wondering what the Lord is doing, you need help, please call us at 427-1054. That is 427-1054. Or write us and let us know of your need so we can send you some literature. But best of all, why not come visit us at one of our churches where we will be glad to take God's word and help you and to pray with you. So we invite you to the Grace Bible Church in Wellhouse in Philip and the Grace Bible Church in Birds River, Deacons Road, where services begin every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And then there's a Grace Bible Church in Paddock Road, Dalkey, St. Michael, where service begins at 8:30 every Sunday morning. There's a Sunday school hour after every morning worship service in each one of our churches. We have a class for every age. Then every Sunday night at 7:15, we have services. Then there's the Berean Baptist Bible Church in Colleton, Six Men, St. Peter, where services begin on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock and then Sunday evenings at 6:30. We're looking forward to seeing you at one of our services.